one right quick, brother. Short version. He's got two or three versions of it. I don't know which is true. But short version here tonight. And his daddy is Smokey, you know, Smokey Sr. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. But Smokey's been my friend for many, many years. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
I think everybody in North Carolina's heard it by now. But like you said, my dad is Pastor Smokey. I grew up in church. I remember Danny's daughters when they were little. And I've been in church all my life. And growing up, I'm just going to skip to the main thing. And growing up in church, you know, being a church kid, a pastor's son, you have a lot put on you. You have a lot of expectations. And so when you fall and you mess up and people notice, and it's hard to overcome that. It's hard to move on. But for those of you who don't know, about, I guess it was 3 years ago, about 3 years ago, it all started with the devil has a recipe. That's what I always tell everybody. The devil has a recipe for everybody to fall.
Right.
He starts off with something that may not seem like it's a big deal at all. For me, it was a broken heart. I thought I was getting married, and it didn't happen. And I got mad at God. And I got mad at God and started hanging out with wrong people.
Listen.
It turned into, I went from, you know, all through high school and college, I never drank, smoked, did nothing like that. And then next thing you know, I'm hanging out with people that did, and so I did. And then I went from drinking to smoking pot to doing everything. Before it was all over, I'd hurt my back, and that's part of the devil's recipe. When you get mad at God and you start messing up, he'll bring someone in your life, and then something will happen.
Listen there, y'all.
For me, I hurt my back. And because I wasn't right with God, I got on pain medicine. The next thing you know, I'm addicted to Oxycontin and everything else. Before it was all over, I was on heroin. And I did everything. I did everything you can imagine. Robbed people. You would never think a pastor's son would go that far. But that's where sin will take you. You have no idea. And Lord gave me a couple of verses. I'm just going to share a couple with you. I went to two rehabs because I got arrested twice and had to. The second time I was in rehab, though, my son was going to be born in a couple months, and that was a wake-up call for me. And in Psalms 57:1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And that's exactly what I had to do. I had to just take shelter under God's wings because I was in a mess. My life was a wreck. And then he showed me in verse 9, it says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me."
Amen.
And that spoke to me in volumes because nobody trusted me with anything. I mean, people knew about me, then I didn't even know them. They'd hear my name, they're like, "Oh yeah, I heard about that guy." You know, I mean, nobody was for me. And then I read, "God's for me." I thought, good night. I didn't talk to God in, you know, a long time. And so I started talking to him. I started praying. I started reading. And I got my heart right. And thank God he delivered me from it. Since my son's been born, I haven't touched heroin. I went to rehab, got on medicine that, you know, helps you get off. And then I quit that, too. So I'm to this day. I have nothing. I don't take anything. I started praying, "God, what do you want me to do?" And he gave me Isaiah 61:1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." And that's what I hope to do.
Amen. 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 Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate that. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know what he said there is real important to me? He said the devil's got a recipe. He knows how to work something in your life to mess you up. It might be a man. It might be a woman. It might be an opportunity, a door, a job. The devil knows how to set you up
and fix this over here and cause this to happen over here and cause that to happen over there and then hit you right at your weak spot. He knows how to do that. And the Bible said that we're not ignorant of his devices. And that's what you're going to, come on, brother, y'all be getting ready to sing. And y'all young people, take a lesson from that. Take a lesson from that. You say, he would never, ever, 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 ever do me like that, preacher. Well, he will too. He didn't think he would. A lot of people never thought they would. And he'll get you and mess up your life. Before it's over with, you'll be saying, I would never believe that I would have done this. That's where he'll get you. Amen. You better think about that. I'm glad he died for me one day. Thank the Lord. Isn't it good to be saved tonight? Isn't it good to be saved? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now listen, y'all. Got visitation Saturday morning at 9:30. If you want to go, help us out. Be a blessing. If you don't want to go, do it anyway. I don't always want to go. I was tired yesterday morning. And we came down here and went to visit the rest home and made some visits. And boy, I was happy by the time we got done. And so come Saturday morning at 9:30. Then don't forget also Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, Sunday school. Your kids need to be in Sunday school. And you need to be in Sunday school. You'll be blessed. Let's turn the Bibles back to the book of Ephesians tonight, the same book we was in this morning. And I want to look at one verse of Scripture here tonight chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter 1 this evening. And I want to talk about our church a little bit, just for a minute tonight, if you'll let me, give me your attention, just for a few minutes. The world out there tonight is quick to criticize every church. The world out there tonight is quick to condemn anybody trying to live for God. They're quick to throw rocks at preachers and churches and deacons and Sunday school teachers and anybody that claims to be a Christian. Once in a while, we need to talk about the good things about the church. Somebody ought to. There's a weird spirit coming on Hollywood, among all the other weird spirits already on them. And I just heard about this last night. All those preachers, they come out with a show called Preacher's Wives. And then it come out, and I'm sure, I never watched it, but I'm sure that they did not present preachers' homes in a good light. Guarantee it. And I think I saw somebody call me, I believe, when my girl said, "Daddy, there's a show on TV called Preacher's Kids. Preacher's Kids Gone Wild or something." I don't know what it was. But anyway, I did watch about 10 minutes of it one night, and it would go from one preacher's house to another, showing their bratty little rebellious daughters. And I said, "Lord, we could have been on there and I could have made some money." But no, it showed them, and they was running wild, wouldn't go to church, and getting out living wicked and everything. And then they have one, another one. Now they got one called L.A. Preachers coming out. I don't even know if it's on yet. But I don't know, but I heard about it. And I guarantee you that they ain't got real men of God on there really preaching. They ain't going to do it. It's almost like the devil works through Hollywood to do everything he can to make the world think that's Christians. That's Christians. Because they don't go to church. And the only church and Christians they see is what they see on TV. Every preacher's a crook. Every Christian's a hypocrite. Everybody, you know, they ain't no... They won't put somebody like Miss Kerr on there. They won't put the Nail family on there and show them traveling from church to church singing and an old beat-up van or something and not being able to barely make it. They won't do it. I'll guarantee you they won't do it. The world hates. I've got a man probably watching us in tonight in Georgia. Well, I'm getting more and more of this stuff of their watching our services different places. And I had no idea. But he called me the other day. If he's watching, I hope it's all right. District attorney from down in Georgia. I won't say what city. And there's a message other on my answering machine said, "This from a district attorney." And I went, "Oh God." I mean, you come home and find a message from a district attorney on you. First thing you know, I think, here we go. I've been waiting on this. I knew it was coming sooner or later. And but anyway, I put it off, not it. I called the number back and the man called me back and he said, "I've been listening to you." He said, "Found you on the internet." He said, "I've been listening." He said, "Man, that's good preaching." He said, "Man, that's what we need." And I said, it was a blessing. We talked for a few minutes. He said, "Consider me a regular listener and supporter now," and all that. He said, "Consider me one of your regular supporters." I said, "You're my only regular supporter." But anyway, we had a good talk, and he's probably listening now. Do you know what he told me? He's a district attorney on his third term. And he said, "I listen to you." Come here, Reverend Castle. He said, "I listen to you every Sunday night." I'm sure he's probably listening right now. And he said, he put a bumper sticker on his car that said something like, "Prayer helps," or something like that. Very, very generic. No non-sectarian. No, not even denominational. Prayer helps. That's all. I mean, you could take it to mean anything you want. Prayer to what? Pulpit, rock, piano. Isn't it just prayer helps? He said he has had a national outcry from around the country. Atheist groups. People are calling, protesting, saying, "I cannot believe you in a position like you have, mixing church and state." And they say he's using our tax dollars to support religion. And he said, "I paid for that bumper sticker out of my own pocket." And did you know something? That lets you know how this world feels about Christianity. They hate it, buddy. They hate it. If you think this world is Jesus' friend or our friend or the church's friend, you're wrong. The only thing protecting us tonight so I can stand up here and preach is God's hand still on this country a little bit and our Constitution of the United States. Thank God for God and thank God for the United States of America. And we are quickly losing our rights as Christians in this country. Fast every single day, laws are being passed. So that if we don't, it ain't that we have a right to our own opinion anymore. We have to agree with them. That's the way it's getting. And that's what it's coming to here in just a few years. You're not even going to be allowed to disagree before it's over with. You're going to have to go along with them, or else you're a bigot, or else you're prejudiced, or else you're something. You don't even have a right to believe what you want to believe anymore. Well, I thought about that. I thought about over there in Gatlin, in Asheville, at that Bell Share a few years ago. There were some guys over there preaching, and they were preaching, and their guys got around them and spit on a preacher. And one of my radio listeners over yonder called me, said, "Brother Danny, you wouldn't believe it. They stood around there and spit on that man preaching." And I thought, well, where's Channel 13? Where's the news? Where's the news reporters? If it would have been a group of homosexuals there doing something and preachers got around them and spit on them, Lord, can you imagine? Some of you went, "Oh gosh, that'd be awful." You didn't say it was awful when I talked about them spitting on a preacher. See how mixed up this world, see the spirit of this world makes people think backwards. If they had spit on homosexuals, they'd have been charged with a hate crime and it would have been national news. Now I'm telling you, the spirit of the world, are you listening? The spirit of the world is working against what we believe and what we're trying to do. And you got to fight back against it. You don't just automatically want to serve God. Your kids don't just automatically want to serve God. You have to push them and preach to them and push yourself and preach to yourself. You have to fight to stay right with God in the generation that we're living in. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. "And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Finish the sentence, verse 23. "Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian here tonight, you are a member of the Lord's body. Now the Bible talks about my body has members. Here is a member of my body, my finger. Here is a member of my body, my other finger. Here is a member of my body, my finger. These are members of my body. The Bible said me and you are the members of his body. We are his hands. He has no hands in this world but our hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece in this world. We are the body of Christ. That's why we need to be careful how we live. That's why we need to be careful what we do. That's why we need to be careful where we go. That's why we need to be careful. We was talking this week. Everybody listening? We was talking on the way down here to church, I believe it was this morning, about stuff. And I was telling Smokey and Jordan and all them other girls on that, Shelly and all them, we went to sing down there the other night. I said, "You know what? I said, you cannot deliberately listen to bad music and stay right with God. I don't care what you say. I don't care how spiritual you claim you are. You say, well, I'm so spiritual, it don't bother me. You're so backslid, why it don't bother you. If you're right with God, it bother you. When you're right with God, it does bother you. Now, I'm going to tell you about this music, y'all. Are you listening? I cannot believe a person will go on Facebook and put bad music on their face and say, "This is my theme song. This is my..." I don't understand how a Christian who puts Jesus first in everything could say my favorite band is somebody who hates the Lord and everything he stands for. I don't care how good it sounds. You say, "Well, don't your flesh like bad music?" Yes, it does. But that don't make it right, and that don't mean I'll let myself listen to it. My flesh does respond to a lot of that beat, and yours does too. That don't make it right. Some people like heroin, like he said. Some people like marijuana. Some people like liquor. That don't make it right. You will not feed that dirty music into your head and stay right with God. You cannot, you will not, you cannot, you will not. You say, well, all I listen to is country preacher. Well, I tell you what all they talk about. You know what they talk about. 9 out of 10 country songs is murder, is adultery and drinking, adultery and drinking, adultery and drinking. 1 out of 10 might be about grandma on the mountainside and apple pie, but it don't ever get nowhere. You got to have that dirt in them, boy, to get anywhere. And I'm going to tell you something this evening. You better listen to me. Jordan was telling us about the Backstreet Boys. She said the Backstreet Boys are coming back, and this one's coming back. And these little boy bands, you know why the devil invents them little boy bands? To deceive them little girls. See, when a girl's 9, 10, 11, and 12, he knows she ain't going to get out and sin, but he's getting them ready. He's already getting that flesh ready. Have you noticed they're getting into sin earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier? That's because of them little boy bands stirring up that lust and chicken nuggets. Now listen, I'm going to go ahead and you go ahead. You're behind. You'll catch up after a while sometime. Listen, brother, we need to understand that the world, he's going after our kids at an earlier and earlier and earlier age. I was going to preach on that about how the church is supposed to be tonight, but I may not even get to it. I'll just, to use the current term, you think I'm not a up-to-date preacher, I'll share a little bit with you tonight. I think we ought to treat our church right. I think, I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor. You ought to teach your kids to treat the pastor right. Amen. I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. If I was just a member, brother, I'd teach my kids, you respect that man. If I just, listen to me, if I disagreed with him, my kids would never know it. People are actually dumb enough to talk about the church and people in the church and the preacher right in front of their kids. You're a dumb person if you'll talk. You're a dumb person if you discuss your bills being behind in front of your children. My mom never, I'd have never known we had a bill. My mom and dad, I didn't know we had bills. That wasn't none of my business. My dad and mom took it. I know kids that come in and say, pray for us. We're about ready to lose everything. Pray for us. Mama's leaving daddy. Pray for us. Daddy said this. And the kids know every detail of life that kids don't have no business knowing. Say amen. You'd think some people just get a brain, you know what? Just get a brain. Amen. I had a man calls me once in a while. Let's tell you, now we're going to have a camp meeting in a minute. I'm just going to talk to you off my head. I'll just leave my outline off. I'm going to talk to you out of here. You know, we got a camp meeting coming up. There are people driving 700 miles and staying in a motel, paying their own rate, yeah, just like you'd go to Disney World. They live close to Disney World. They're driving all the way to Morganton, staying in a motel up here, and coming to our camp meeting. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that people out in this world are starving for something spiritual. And we got it, or they at least think we do. And we do. We got what they're longing for. We got what their soul longs for. Listen, the singing, Brother Wayne comes up here. When Brother Wayne comes up here, I let him listen to our radio station. He said, we can't hear that kind of singing. The song we sung, the world may try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Them songs like that, you can't hear them nowhere but right around this part of the country. He said, we don't have nothing like that. He said, he'll tell you the same thing. Nothing. You can't get nothing on the radio where he lives, even close to what our kind of scene is. You know what people told me before? People get mad at me and leave the church, they'd leave a year, 2 years. I met one lady up in Marion. She said, you know, I left her church up there and I saw her. She said, the main thing I kept missing was that singing. She said, you can't find it. That old-fashioned singing. Not, it ain't a bunch of rock and roll and drums beating them there. It's old, down to earth. I said, well, I'm a preacher. And she said, you know I miss you, Brother Danny. But I miss that singing. I miss that singing. Read you a little card here. I don't read them all, but you need to read them once in a while so people will keep the right attitude. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying we got something here people want. This kind of mail the other day. Dear Mr. Castle, I want you to know the sermon you did on local radio station WDSL, that's in our Moxville, Winston-Salem area, I have to say was the best I have ever heard. You are right about everything is backward. You tell the truth. I don't believe this, but she said another pastor on the radio tells or wants to talk about. I've been saying it for years, that folks are letting the kids run the house and tell the adults how to live. I've seen it with my own eyes. Out of control. Preach it and preach it some more. Amen to your words of wisdom. Your sermon today compelled me to write and say thank you. Keep up. Great job. Some lady, I don't know where she lives. Down yonder somewhere. We get letters like that all the time. I don't read them because I don't want you to think, you know, that I'm boasting or anything like that. I'm not. I'm just saying people out there are hungry for what we've got right here at Shining Light Baptist Church. I have a businessman on the other side of Marion. He'll call me about every other Wednesday night. Great old man. He looks like one of them old-time movie stars, about 80 years old. And he looks like one of them old Humphrey Bogart or somebody, or one of them old-time movie stars, like back in the 30s and 40s, big businessman. And he'll call me on Wednesday evening and say, Danny, you going to be at your church tonight? I said, yes, sir. What time to start? 7. Okay, I'll be there. Him and his wife show up, and they'll give me some money. Here, this needs the kids. This will help here. Happened the other night. She said, I said, I'm going off to preach somewhere. And she gave me $60 back there and said, here, put this on your trip. Put it on gas. Whatever you want to do with it. I said, I appreciate that. You know what that is? That's people appreciating what God has given us here at Shining Light Baptist Church. I had a preacher tell me the other day, because pastoring a church ain't easy. I told you this morning about just a little bit of this past week. You know that sermon I preached this morning on redeeming the time? And I told you I made 20 radio programs. I preached revival, drove 3.5 hours every night, counseled for hours, mowed my grass, spent time with him. Thank God that's over tonight. He's been a blessing. I've been glad to have him. I'm broker and a convict, but I'm glad we've had a good time fellowship. I'm telling you. I ain't going to tell. Boy, you know them things, ice cream you buy? Like Breyer's things? Not gone, brother. I didn't know if somebody could eat one of them whole things. Him or Mar, one eat it. I don't know which one. Might have been Marley. Blame it on Marley. But he's a healthy, growing young man. I've got him. He's going to be my bodyguard. But anyway, the sermon that I preached this morning, you know what they tell you in Bible college? They say in Bible college that you're supposed to prepare 1 hour for every minute that you plan on speaking in the pulpit. That's what the average Bible college teaches. That means that sermon this morning, I should have prepared 35 hours for. You can tell I'm not prepared for this tonight. I'm just talking to you. But there's no way in the world. You say, how long did you prepare for that? I hate to tell you. The whole thing, maybe 2 hours. But I prayed a lot. And I thought, I think going down the road. And I pulled out a pencil. Write that down. Write that down. Redeem the time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do this. Do that. Do that. You know why? Brother, I've got a job to do. I can't study an hour for every minute I preach. Ain't that many hours. I preach every night. 45 minutes a night. Going to study 45 hours every day. Preacher told me the other day, he called me, he said, brother, have you ever thought about just going into full-time evangelism? I said, are you trying to say I ain't no good pastor? Or are you trying to say I need to be, I think he meant just travel. I said, I can't do that. I love our church. Guy called me in Florida the other day. He sat me down and he said, we'll put you in a house. He said, I got a brand new house. He said, we'll give you anything you want if you come down here and take this church. And I said, you tell my girls to come move and I'll think about it. I really would. And he said, all right. I come home, told them. One of them, I ain't going to say which one, said, I'm ready, Daddy, let's go. And it wasn't the oldest one or the middle one. You know what we ought to do tonight? Here's what somebody told me about y'all. This person said, I just love the people at our church. That's a blessing. You know what we got here? Our church reminds me of a a smorgasbord. It's like a zoo might be a better word. That's a blessing. It's a blessing, brother. We got all kinds, shapes, colors, sizes. Lord have mercy. That's the way it's supposed to be. If the Lord Jesus was here on this earth, He'd have poor people. He'd have rich people. He would have blind people. He would have deaf people. He would have the poor, the maimed, the low, the halt, the blind. Listen, brother, I think that's the way a church ought to be. A church ought to be a place where an old beat-up pickup truck held together by bumper stickers parks beside a Mercedes sitting out in the parking lot. And they both go in and worship God together. Amen. I mean, a church ought to be a place where a little old bus kid about that high can run up and sit down beside a rich lady with a diamond that big and rub a booger on her dress. That's the way a church ought to be. That's the way a church ought to be. I tell you, whether the ground is level, at the foot of the cross, there ain't no big shots. You know, I ain't no big shot around here. I'd get down on my knees and help anybody in here. I'll tell you what, I'd do whatever I can to help you, to help your family. There ain't no big shot. We don't worship a preacher. We don't worship so-and-so. Brother, we all are on level ground in here tonight. Hallelujah. That's what makes it good. I told somebody, I get calls all the time, people go to other churches. I heard you'd help me. That's a good testimony. We can't help everybody. But it's a good testimony that people believe we will help people. She's like, I ain't helping nobody. Well, you ain't thinking right. We stopped and picked this boy up yesterday. Me and him did. Walking up the interstate. You can't hitchhike on the interstate, but I mean, somebody walking up the interstate, duh, needs a ride. I pulled over. He came running, hopped in the back seat. I said, how you doing there, man? He's about 35, I guess. He out in the back seat, and I said, I'm Danny Castle. What's your name? He said, James, somebody. I said, where are you going, James? He said, I'm going to Bakersville on the other side of Spruce Pine. And it was just starting to rain. I said, man, what in the world? He said, my car broke down on the other side of Hickory. I've been walking since 2 o'clock this morning. It took him about 6 hours to get from Hickory on the other side of Newton. He said, I've been watching my watch. I'm averaging 6 miles an hour. He said, my feet's killing me. He said, I want something to drink so bad I can't. And I said, there's some water laying back there on the floor. Get it. Man, he grabbed and just killed that water like that. He said, my feet are killing me, preacher. And I said, he wasn't drunk either. He wasn't drunk, and I don't think he was on drugs, was he? I mean, I couldn't tell. I mean, he said, I work every day. He told us where he worked. And I said, well, how come you don't call somebody to come get you? He said, I've called both my nieces. I've called my uncle. He said, they're not up yet, or the phone's off or something. He said, I can't get in touch with nobody, so I'm just walking. Sick. I said, you got about 50 or 60 miles from right here to Bakersville. And the last type of it's just like that right there. And he said, well, I don't know what else to do. And I said, well, he said, if you'll take me to the truck stop, Marion, he said, my uncle brings trucks through there, and some of them will come through there and pick me up. And I said, okay, we'll do that. And I said, you care if we stop flea market a minute? He said, no. So we stopped there to get some goodie powders. And he said he wasn't on nothing, but he's got on to them since he's been down here. Them will keep you sober, brother. Anyway, that old boy, we left him in the car, and I said, look, we'll be back here in a little bit. You just rest up there. He got down there, and he said, man, you get the keys out of that car? I said, hey, he'd be all right. And I thought, if he steals my 4Runner, we'll go track him down. But I did take the key out of it. And he said, I said, yeah, he'd be all right. And we went and shopped around. He said, you got anything in that car valuable? I said, no, I don't reckon. And I said, we walked down there, and Goody Powder Man was out. He said, you got to be early. Early bird gets goodie powder at the flea market. They keep them at the dollar. You don't know how redneck it is around here? Go to the Nebo Mall and the Dollar General, and goodie powders are back behind the counter. They can't even leave them out. That's how redneck it is around here. People steal them. Of all the items in the store, that's what gets stole. Goodie powders and Sudafed or something like that. But we took him up there. I bought him a cold bottle of water. Gave it to him. We dropped him off at the truck stop. Then we went to rest home. We visited some more and went home. And you know what? I come home and got to thinking. And I believe the Lord named our church right. Shining Light. The world may not give the snap of their finger for us. There's a rock group somewhere that must like us or hate us. But the world wouldn't give you the snap of their finger for us tonight. And most religious people wouldn't. But there's some little kids down here in Hickory and over in Lenore and all around Burke County that look to our church to help them. And they look for that big old bus every Sunday to come down their road. And they can go out there and get on it. And they know when they walk in that door, Randy's going to be back there and give them a piece of gum, or Kelly and Junior, and then we'll take them into Junior and hug their neck, and Brother Mike will teach them, and Brother Jason will take some of them in his class, and Tracy and Sherry and Phyllis and Michelle, and all y'all will take them into class and be good to them. Miss Vicky, they know our church, but we can't let them kids down. We can't just desert them. Once in a while, you get to thinking, I'm just going to quit my bus route. I'm tired of it, huh? We can't just let them kids, leave them kids hanging like that, y'all. We had a bus this morning, Kim's bus, they was telling me, didn't get no pizza, nothing. And I didn't know about it. They said them kids were so disappointed. And there's 14 of them. And I thought, you know what? It'd be good. Maybe some of y'all could volunteer to help her. They need help. They need help. They need help on the route. They need help visiting. They need help somebody right working it. And they need help for snacks. We can't let them down. They looked us. They're just as important as a president or an ambassador to Jesus. Amen. They looked to us. And I'll tell you, somebody else is looking to us. There's a bunch of old drug addicts and drunks and people that's all lives all messed up. We talked to one yesterday there in Nebo. I said, I know you. He told me his name. I said, you know me? He said, yeah, you Danny Castle. He had real long hair. I didn't know who the boy was. He said, you remember me from a long time ago? I said, remember your name? I knew his family. He said, I just got out of prison. He said, they sent me up. He'd been in prison for drugs. I think he said 10 years. Did he say 10 years? 10 years, man. And he said, I remember you, Danny. He said, I come and heard you preach a long time ago up in Marion. And I said, man, you need to come to our church. And you know what? It was the nastiest mess you ever seen in your life. God, you wouldn't believe the filth. He said, I'm trying to clean this up, burning a big old pile of junk over here. They ain't probably just a handful of churches in town would even stop and talk to that guy. And I thought somebody's living there. Kelly's really the one that told me. She said, you need to stop and see them people. She had pointed it out when we was on bus route one day or somewhere. And I said, that's right. So me and him went there visiting yesterday. And I'm telling you, you never seen such a filthy mess in your life. And before we left, he asked me twice where the church is and what exit it was on and everything. You know what that old boy thought? Here's somebody that maybe I can help me. Here's somebody where I might feel welcome if I went to that church. We don't dip ourselves and we don't compromise. What's right's right. But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that walks in that door back there tonight, it don't matter how they look, how they smell, where they've been or what they've done, we ought to go to them and say, you know what? The Lord loves you and He'll help you. We wasn't so hot when the Lord got us, y'all. You wasn't exactly Mother Teresa, some of you. Amazing how quick we forget, isn't it? You forget how wicked you was. We ought to love them when they walk in that door, not judge them and criticize them. And I love our church tonight. I love our church. There's not one person in here tonight that I couldn't hug and go to that altar and pray with you with nothing in my heart against you. And if you're here tonight and there's anybody in this building that you couldn't bow down and pray with and ask God to bless them sincerely, you need to get that thing right so the Lord can stir in here. I'm getting excited about this. It's right here. I'm getting excited. I am. I hope the Lord just shakes us down to our boots, brother. I hope the Lord does. Don't you want the Lord to do something for our kids? Amen. When kids get right, you don't have to worry about their musical habits. They'll do right by themselves. They'll preach to mom and daddy when they get right. So let's get on fire for the Lord. Let's get our hearts ready for camp meeting. Let's get our push our kids into this thing, and God will bless us for it. Let's stand.